Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The New Hampshire primary now just 4 days away. GOP candidate Nikki Haley sharpening her attacks against frontrunner former President Trump, who claims that Democrats are mobilizing to vote for Haley in the open primary. Haley says Trump is lying, that only independents can vote for either party, and the deadline to switch party affiliation in the state passed in October.
This is a matter of people could change their registration months ago before they knew what this slate was, but now it is what it is. Democrats aren't going to be voting in this election.
Trump holds an event tonight in New Hampshire. ABC News has learned Tim Scott of South Carolina will endorse Trump ahead of next month's primary and Haley's home state. Wind-driven snow today in Washington, D.C., where this year's March for Life rally is taking place. Participants celebrating the Supreme Court's overturning of Roe v. Wade, giving states the power to decide abortion access. More than 50 people have died nationwide due to recent winter storms and bitter cold. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here is what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers want to ban abortion in Wisconsin after 14 weeks. Right now it's 20 weeks. There are exceptions. The bill is a public hearing Monday, the same day Vice President Kamala Harris is in Wisconsin to promote reproductive rights. The measure needs to be signed by the governor and approved by voters statewide, but Evers is not likely to sign it. Parents could pull their kids out of discussions over gender identity or racism in school under a Republican bill that passed the Wisconsin Assembly yesterday. Democrats like Representative Melissa Ratcliffe say there's more to it than that.
This bill will inflict psychological harm on LGBTQ students and is another salvo in a culture war that tries to turn fear and misunderstanding into political talking points.
Republicans say they're looking out for parents. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home. This is news from WISS and WGBW. Renovations to Theta Cares Hospital in Neenah are officially done after breaking ground in 2022. It costs $100 million and aims to transform healthcare in the Fox Cities. The emergency department is expanded and redesigned. There are new state-of-the-art rooms just for trauma and behavioral health. There's also a new center focused on women's health, which includes mammographies, diagnostics and imaging, and bone density testing. Some Republican state lawmakers want to ban hunters from killing antlerless deer in northern Wisconsin for several years to try to preserve does and regrow the region's herd. Hunters in the northern forest hunting zone have complained for years about dwindling deer numbers. The zone includes roughly the northern third of Wisconsin. State wildlife officials have blamed harsh weather last winter for lower deer numbers. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Todd Almost Show.
Luke Mathers, it's time for Tuesday Tangents with Lukester.
Everybody announced yesterday, schools are closed tomorrow. I feel like a boomer almost here, Todd, where I'm like, back in my day, we never got a snow day in advance. I remember sitting patiently, like cross-legged in front of the television set, just waiting for the little ticker to scroll by. And if you missed it alphabetically, you had to sit there even longer.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Bucks in the Motor City. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After losing by 40 points to Cleveland, the Bucks head to Detroit to take on the last place Pistons. At 28-13, Milwaukee remains four games behind the Celtics for first place in the Eastern Conference. The Pistons have only four wins. They're 4-37. Their historic 28-game losing streak ended at the end of December. NFL, Packers and 49ers, Saturday night in the playoffs. How much can momentum help the Packers this weekend? Jordan Love.
It's huge. You know, I think coming to the postseason, that's been huge for us. Kind of got rolling with those three wins back to back to back. So, you know, it's huge for us right now, just having that momentum.
49ers veteran Fred Warner on how Jordan Love compares to Aaron Rodgers.
I'll just speak to Jordan Love, and the way that he's playing right now is really great. The things that you see showing up, obviously learned under Aaron, some of the mannerisms and the way that he's operating. He's making the throws, making smart decisions, which is what you want.
That's 49ers linebacker Fred Warner. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Mostly cloudy today with highs climbing to near 15. However, with winds whipping up to 20 miles per hour, this could fling a few flurries our way this afternoon and into tonight. Otherwise, a mostly sunny weekend ahead with high temperatures into the upper teens. Currently, it's 12 degrees.
The Todd Almaz Show.
Matt Flynn, thanks for joining us. As an attorney who's been in a lot of courtrooms, Trump may insist on giving part of his closing oral arguments on this case. I'm not sure if you ever saw the ABC series Boston Legal with William Shatner as Denny Crane. We're approaching Denny Crane territory here.
That's flat out crazy. It's like taking out your own appendix with a Bowie knife and you have no anesthesia. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
The Todd Almaz Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide and live on Civic Media. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. Biggest story right now is that Joe Biden, as we came on the air, signed the extension of the continuing resolution to fund the government to the first week in March. This is the third time, the third stop, last minute flurry. Here's what happened. Here's what happened. The Senate previously, a day or so ago, passed it 77 to 18. 77 to 18. There were a couple, four Republican senators didn't vote on it. One, Grassley, is out sick. But all of the Democrats voted for it. And the remaining votes, the 70, get it to 77, 26 more votes. That was done by Republicans, but 18 Republicans voted against it. They voted not to pay our military. Tommy Tuberville, all of them, 18, voted not to pay our military, went to the House. Interesting thing that happened in the House is 314 to 108. Virtually every Democrat voted for it, but the Republicans were split 107, 106. So barely... Mike Johnson barely survived the Hastert rule, which is a self-imposed rule in their caucus that says that half or more of the House caucus have to approve something or it doesn't go to the floor. Here, 107 approved it. 106 did not. 106 voted not to pay our troops. I think that every congressman, Republican in our state, voted against it not to pay our troops. Not to pay our troops. This isn't the end of it. This extends, all it extends is the January 19 date to March 1, and the February 2nd date to March 8. And that means on March 1 now, there'll be four bills that will lapse. This continuing resolution will lapse as to them and four of the agencies. And on March 8, the other eight, there are 12 bills that are needed to fully fund the government. The money now is assured. The money is assured. But how it's divvied up and so forth is still going to be fought about. And Johnson's setting votes on that beginning of next week. And there'll be more skullduggery and chicanery in line and all that from the Republican Party. Now, Biden signed it. Consider a couple of things here. Consider a couple of things. This is the third one. The third one. Every time this happens, confidence in our government confidence by the investment community in our government goes down. Now, does that mean they're not going to buy our treasury bonds? No, it doesn't mean that. Our treasury bonds are the safest bonds in the world. In the world, even Germany, which had very, very safe bonds at one point, had negative interest rates. And those negative interest rates meant you bought a German bond for, say, $100, and all it said they would do is repay you $99. In other words, you lost money, but at least you trusted the German government not to steal it, squander it, that it'd be there. The United States treasuries were considered even safer than Germany's. We always paid somewhere, sometimes we paid 0.5%, 1.5%, 2%. When you're trying to fund trillions of dollars in bonds, that makes a lot of difference. That's many billions of dollars in interest. What the Republicans have done by taking us to the brink, and I'm not kidding about brink. You know when the brink was? At 11:59 tonight. Tonight. 11:59 tonight. 12 hours, less than 12 hours beforehand, it was finally gotten to Joe Biden to sign it. They keep doing this. And what that says is a lot of investors, and when I talk about investors, I'm not talking about you and me. I'm talking about institutional investors, other countries. Well, if we're going to put our money in U.S. Treasury bonds, we know that the United States has the mercantile power, the economic power, the manufacturing power. We know it has that, but they hate each other. That's how we're seen. The government hates each other, and so what they end up doing is they deliberately give self-inflicted wounds. So instead, we're not going to buy those bonds for 1% or 2% anymore. We want 4 or 5%. Well, you start paying 4 or 5% on trillions of dollars of debt. That adds billions with a B, billions of dollars, billions in interest that was unnecessary, absolutely unnecessary, did not have to be paid, should not have even been demanded. Should absolutely not have been demanded. And, you know, people sometimes, and I can't resist an historical note. You know that. It's a hallmark of this show. People think that somehow this is maybe the first time in history that we've had this bad House of Representatives and that they won't vote on a budget. It costs the government money. Go back to 1879, Rutherford Hayes, he was the president. He was a colonel at Antietam, one of the bloodiest battles in the Civil War on our side. Rutherford Hayes commanded troops. And I've said this before, but I love this fact. One of the sergeants under his command, Sergeant William McKinley, who also went on to be president of the United States. McKinley was assassinated. But Rutherford Hayes in 1879, they said, well, the Democratic Party had been taken over by former Confederates. Remember, back then, the Confederates were in the Democratic Party. The abolitionists were in the Republican Party. And they had a slight majority in 1879. And they insisted on putting budgets, just like Johnson and the rest of them try now, that's full of poison pills. In those days, the poison pills were get all troops out of the South, whatever remain, and give up on letting blacks vote despite the 14th Amendment. And to his credit, Rutherford Hayes, a hero of Antietam, abolitionist, vetoed them five times. Five times he vetoed them. The press finally got behind Rutherford Hayes and the Republicans, the abolitionists, the good guys back then. Because he said, if I do this, it would allow a bare majority in the House to dictate terms to the Senate and the president, destroying the balance of power in the government. He said that the Confederate goals were radical, dangerous, and unconstitutional. And remember something else. that earlier in that decade, one of the Confederate leaders said, "We were crazy." They didn't. He said, "In those days, you know, we were foolish to take up arms against the Union. All we had to do was stay in the Senate and the House. We could have done what we wanted from inside." And that's what they tried. It's much more dangerous than what's going on now, believe it or not. Rutherford Hayes was succeeded by Garfield. Garfield, magnificent. And he stood up as well. And he stood up. He was another Northerner, abolitionist. And so what's going on right now is not unusual in American history. But it hasn't been done to this degree in a long time. Certainly not since the Second World War. In other words, you do not have any Democratic administration. You have no Democratic Congress. And remember, the last time until the 90s that the Republicans controlled Congress was the 50s. So for all that time period, and even now when Pelosi was the speaker for a while, nobody in the Democratic Party, nobody, did a poison pill budget. And by poison pill, in this case, it would be issues I agreed with, but in other words, it would bust the budget. Nobody in the Democratic Party said, we must have Medicaid for all or we'll shut down the government. We must have voting rights and no gerrymander or we'll shut down the government. We must restore the Voting Rights Act itself or shut down the government. Nobody said that. Everybody negotiated and gave people a little bit of what they wanted, and we had budgets. This crowd right now, and let me tell you something. We're going to talk about this a little more in this upcoming segment. When McCarthy and Biden reached their deal last fall, which is what this continuing resolution basically continues till March, Biden made tremendous concessions. He kept spending flat. Spending flat, didn't even account for inflation. McCarthy wanted cuts. Biden said no, kept it flat. This time around in the negotiations, it was renegotiated by Michael Johnson. He also kept it flat, but he extorted from Schumer and inferentially Biden a reduction of $10 billion in the additional funding for the IRS. $10 billion. That is not a savings. When you put money into the IRS, and it was being put into forensic accountants and lawyers and staff to get tax cheats who are Republicans and Republican donors to pay their taxes, it yields a multiple of revenue. So $10 billion would yield $30 or $40 billion to the government, to taxes, reducing the deficit. By reducing it by $10 billion, reducing the IRS by $10 billion, remember, George W. Bush, 18 years ago, cut it drastically further and set up a decade of tax fraud. All that Mike Johnson did by negotiating this is to increase the deficit. All that the Republicans are doing by playing this jujitsu right to the end, till 11:59 practically on the day of, all they are doing is driving up interest rates and increasing the deficit. When we come back, you will not believe what Trump is doing and saying about the Republicans in the Senate and what he is forcing Johnson and the Republicans in the House to do. Coming back.
Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org. That's 800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome back to Mifflin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Just consider what Donald Trump has forced the Congress to do, and he's not even in the government anymore, forced the Congress to do because they're afraid of A, primaries, and B, death threats against their wives and kids. Here's what he's forced them to do. First of all, he was one of the ones that forced the Senate not to promote generals and admirals. He had Tuberville, who's a self-proclaimed white supremacist, gladly going along with it. But he had the rest of the senators scared, and they wouldn't bust the filibuster. They wouldn't give 9 votes to Chuck Schumer. Secondly, he's not only the guy that appointed 3 of the tarantulas on the Supreme Court, but he has pressed state legislatures, including Idaho and Texas, not to blink on abortion. So giving an example, in Idaho and Texas, there's not a right to abortion, even to save the life of the mother. And in Texas, there was a case where a woman's health was so badly threatened in her life that her doctor certified that her life and health were in danger, and the Texas Supreme Court said it was insufficient. So she went elsewhere. He is doing everything he can to force the government to shut down. And that's why we were on the brink today by 11:59 p.m. And that includes not paying our troops. Now, in the Ukraine aid package, the border package, the Israel package, that's separate from this particular funding. And he has put his foot down. He has ordered them all that unless there's a perfect border solution, which is basically close the border, don't take it and no aid to Ukraine. And he will personally attack anybody who votes for it. Now, he's weakened us against Russia, China, Iran with all this, but here's what he has actually said. I'll give you an example. He attacked Mitch McConnell. He attacked the moderates in the Senate on the border package in Ukraine aid. He said they had better not vote for anything that is not perfect. Now, here's the response from John Thune, South Dakota, the number 2 guy, the caucus whip, the Senate whip on the Republican side. So Thune actually showed a little spine. He said, quote, what he's saying is not helpful. There are a number of pieces in that immigration bill that are good, conservative border policies that we've been trying to get done for years, end quote. That's John Thune. Now, here's the deal. Biden conceded quite a bit. He conceded quite a bit when it came to the border compromise to get the Ukraine and the Israel aid. Everybody in the Republican Party in the Senate had said, look, when I say everybody, obviously not people like Hawley and Cotton and Cruz and this ilk, but the mainstream Republicans said, look, we're never going to get this again because of Ukraine aid, we're getting it. So let's pass this thing. Mike Johnson feels the same way, or at least he said he did in the Senate. But now he's running up against Chip Roy, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and all the rest of these characters, and letting the tail wag the dog again. And let me tell you something. There's more hypocrisy in the Congress all over the place than you can shake a stick at. I'm going to give you 2 examples. You know what the border policy of Saudi Arabia is? When refugees from Yemen try to get in, because Yemen is badly split between Sunnis and Shiites, and these people's lives are in danger, They're not economic refugees like the ones that come across our border. The Soviet troops machine gun them. They kill them. And they are perverts, so they occasionally pluck out a man and a woman and order the man to rape the woman for their pleasure. Nobody in the Republican Party has criticized that or even mentioned it. Nobody. Because Saudi Arabia is Trump's pet. They gave $2 billion to Jared Kushner. In my view, he's taken money from them. A lot of money from them. He will do anything. He defended Chainsaw Charlie when the cadets, the Saudi Arabian cadets, murdered our sailors in Florida in December of 2018. He said that Mohammed, Prince Mohammed, felt terrible about it. And it's not his fault. He stuck up for the Saudis. They stuck up for the Saudis. So nobody mentions it. And nobody mentions it on the far left of the Democratic Party. The squad doesn't mention it. When was the last time you heard Ilhan Omar, Ocasio-Cortez tell you what I just told you? Never, but everybody shoots their mouth off about the United States and our immigration policy. How about China? China's immigration policy, they have a terrible problem in North Korea, obviously, and people try to get into China. China and North Korea have a border. The Chinese catch them, they send them back to North Korea. If that happens, they get tortured right in front of their families. China doesn't care. When was the last time you heard anybody in Congress tell you that? Or anybody in Congress criticize it? Or what do they think? It is business as usual? The only people who held the human standards are Europeans and Americans? Apparently that's right. But a lot of it is for economic reasons. For identity politics reasons on the Republican side, simply because of laziness, and frankly, a lot of them. Remember, Trump did, quote, services, end quote, for Chinese banks, and he got at least $5.8 million for it when he was president. Chinese banks, two of them, that have busted our sanctions against North Korea. Nobody in the Republican Party criticized that. Nobody in the Republican Party criticized their immigration policy. Everybody in the extremes of both parties attack our immigration policy, and I'm damn tired of it. I'll tell you that right now. So here's what you have. Donald Trump, a mixture of threats, mixture of generating threats to the point where members of Congress are afraid for the safety of their families, their wives and kids and their husbands. And then at the same time, deathly afraid of being primary, because then they'd have to find a job and who would hire them. Take a good look at any of these people. Would you entrust them to do anything? Do you think they have the moxie and the enthusiasm to do anything? I do not. And so what happens is they shiver with fear, fear of primaries, fear of threats, and they do what he says. And as a result, we've not only swelled our deficit by high interest rates on our debt, by everything I've just described, but we've also diminished our stature in the world. You know, one of the reasons why we're getting a lot of these pot shots taken at us by Iran proxies, by the Yemenis, and so on, and there are many reasons, but one of them is the minute you are the dominant power in the world and you yield that in any respect and can't even pass your own budget, people lose their fear of you. Well, that damn well better be restored. And I don't mean fear in a bad way. I mean to admire our values, admire our Constitution, admire our economy. The Republican Party is putting a knife in that. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather. And I'll tell you what, Trump just got a double whammy in the polls. This is very good news for Joe Biden. Coming up.
Yeah, blood in the streets, it's up to my ankle. Blood in the streets, it's up to my knee.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at PeaceCorps.gov.
Warmer weather on the way around Wisconsin next week. That means we'll be managing not only snow, but also water. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Friday. Right now, a lot of Wisconsin farms are monitoring the snow load on a lot of their buildings. Heifer sheds, machine sheds, even the barn itself can literally be carrying thousands of pounds of weight because of that snow. David Bonoff knows all about it. He's an emeritus professor at UW-Madison's Department of Biological Systems Engineering. He says, well, right now the temptation is to try to get some of that snow off. Be sure you're thinking safety first.
How do you get it off? Or should you try to take it off? Those are two different questions with different answers. But if the snow's on the roof, can you rake it off? Or should you rake it off? It's under, sure, try to rake it off. I wouldn't go up there on the roof, and especially don't go up there with snow blowers. There's people that actually have tried to do that sort of stuff. What they do to the roof steel in that particular case is just, I mean, it just gets destroyed to the point that they have to come in and re-roof the building once the snow is gone.
Wise advice from David Bonoff. He is an emeritus professor at the UW-Madison Department of Biological Systems Engineering. He said, think safety first. And Bonoff also says, you have to remember that that snow can move on its own very quickly once temperatures start to move up. And he said, that's also a safety concern for folks going in and out of buildings.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
The end of harvest, snow-covered fields, and an early morning sunrise. Winter is a good time to evaluate your livestock's health. BioVet loves seeing healthy animals contribute to your farm's profitability. The knowledge and support from our team is here to help you make the difference in the health and productivity on your farm. Help your livestock stay healthy and call 1-800-BioVet1 or visit bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
We're exploring farming in the last frontier, Alaska. Come and join us. Hi, everyone. I'm Pam Yonke. The date's August 22nd through September 1st. We'll visit a variety of Alaska farms, including a private boat excursion to experience a shrimping operation. Of course, you'll get all the majestic scenery and impressive wildlife along the way. Visit holidayvacations.com, keyword Pam, for more information and to watch a travel video, or call 888-557-1020 today. And University Extension officials are reminding farmers to be very careful about spreading manure on top of this snowpack. Kevin Erb, Conservation and Nutrient Management Specialist with the University Extension Service, says you have to remember those nutrients you're spreading on top of that snowpack will suddenly be mobilized if we warm up next week and see melting occur. He said that can compromise your nutrient management plan and send those nutrients into waterways. That's a look at food news for a Friday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Mostly cloudy today with highs climbing to near 15. However, with winds whipping up to 20 miles per hour, this could fling a few flurries our way this afternoon and into tonight. Otherwise, a mostly sunny weekend ahead with high temperatures into the upper teens. It's 13 degrees at our studios.
I'm Scott, the owner of Solid Fire Pits. When I began welding my custom-made fire pits for friends and family, I shared them on TikTok because I was just so proud of them.
Check it out. That's beautiful.
I posted every new fire pit design and more people kept ordering, from 26 states and counting. Then on my birthday, I had my best sales ever. Now how can the universe beat that?
Solid Fire Pits is just one of the 5 million U.S. businesses that rely on TikTok every day. TikTok sparks business.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines, Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling, Gene. What's in your mind today?
Thank you so much, Matt. And thank you for to you and to all the others who, you know, have expertise and talent and knowledge to share with the rest of us through the most difficult, I think, time that I've ever seen in my life. And we're so appreciative of it. And I just want to bring just mention to others who are listening who really love your show and pay attention to your knowledge and, you know, history and the way you pull things together for us so that we get information and insights. Also, tomorrow at 9 a.m., that's when Morning Cannolis is on, and he goes through the legal aspects of what happens, like, through the week or what happens in the country and just plain legal stuff. And so I just wanted to bring that up. And I also wanted to bring up that, you know, we depend on the Republican Party to at least stand up for America, but a lot of those Republicans have left. They have quit. They have tried to stand up, and they were loners, and they got beaten down by Trump. And I really do believe that we now have a mobster running our country, and he's not even in office. And the conspiracies and the plots continue. The one against Fani Willis was a plot. They'll soon, I think, it's coming out now what the devil was going on with that one. People might want to check that out. Every single thing they're trying to obstruct the incarceration, I hope happens, with the former leader of the American people that was so illegal, lies, fraud, conspiracies. And Matt, I remember the people he put into office, you know, he put in the normal people first, but then he started putting in people that really shouldn't have been in different offices. And I can't remember which one it was, but there was a guy that he put in that tried to hurt Uniroyal in Wisconsin, in Eau Claire. And I remember it clearly because I have family members, a lot of family members who work there. And this guy was going to buy it out, you know, and then take their retirements and that type of thing. And Trump had him in one of his offices. He had so many bad people running our government that it was just frightening. And then pretty soon one would be under investigation, they'd leave. And, I mean, we cannot survive another Trump administration. People need to wake up. I'm so thankful for Joe Biden. I tell you, I say prayers every night because he knows what he's doing. He cares. He can't get a lot done because we didn't give him enough reinforcement to get things done for the people. And then look what we got instead, the Republicans from Wisconsin, the Green Bay sweep, the liars, the conspiracy in the state of Wisconsin saying that there was a bad election and so we need to wake up, folks. We got to fight back because the only people that can fight back is us with our vote. And, you know, I am not a member of a party, but gol darn it, I'm voting blue all the way because the people with the R after their name have hurt us badly. Thank you very much. I didn't mean to go on and on, but it's so overwhelming sometimes.
Right. No, I know what you're saying. And by the way, Jim Santel on Morning Cannoli on Saturday is a friend of mine. He's an excellent lawyer. Very, very well-regarded lawyer who is also the U.S. attorney at one time in Milwaukee. You know, as U.S. attorney, that means he was the chief federal prosecutor in Eastern District, but functionally really for the state. It's most of the cases come out of the Eastern District of Wisconsin. So I can't think of a better way if you had the time on Saturday morning listening to his show, and he gets very deep into the weeds on legal stuff, and it's very, very important, very important. Well, thank you. And now some good news. Good news for Joe Biden. Everybody, I think, everybody has bought into this stuff about, well, you know, Biden's down in the polls. Even Trump beats him. Nikki Haley beats him by even more. If she were ever the nominee head-to-head with Donald Trump and there were a full airing of what she knows and what she's done, she isn't going to get Schneider. And Trump's not going to get Schneider against this guy. And here, there, when an avalanche starts, it's not only difficult to stop, it's impossible to stop. And I think there is a sea change going on right now in all of the relentless lying attacks, death threats of Donald Trump that's finally caused, I would say, a significant mass of people in this country to say, we are not going to vote for this guy. So listen to this data. Everything you've heard about the polls, well, let me tell you something. How about a poll from January 3rd to the 9th by Ipsos, I-P-S-O-S. They did it for Reuters. Reuters commissioned them. It's a respected news source. It polled 3,815 voters. Now, that's a huge sample. Huge sample with a very low margin of error. In it, it said, if the election were held today, Biden would get 40% of the vote, Trump would get 38% of the vote, and 10% would vote for third candidate. In the other one, they said, part of that one, they said, suppose Robert Kennedy Jr. were in it. Now, Robert Kennedy Jr. is nowhere near like his dad. I thought the world of his dad and the whole Kennedy family, and I was Teddy Kennedy's Milwaukee County chairman for one of his campaigns back in 1980, and they are the gold standard. They are one of the premier families in American history. But even then, Biden wins with 34%, Trump gets 33%, and Kennedy gets 17%, which is 2 points less than Russ Perot got back in 1992. So that's one poll. Here's another one by YouGov, Y-O-U-G-O-V. YouGov, it was done for The Economist. The Economist, a very respected publication, paid for the poll. This one had 1,472 subjects. These were all registered voters in both of them. This was conducted January 14 and 16. The poll, Biden against Trump, Biden 44%. Trump 43%. Now, here are some other interesting anomalies, and keep these in the back of your mind. They're absolutely counter to everything that I had read about in the popular press. The poll showed that Biden is more popular with younger voters, Biden, than older voters. In the 18 to 29 demographic, Biden beats Trump 56-29. Get as many youngins out there as you can. Young people, and remember your own youth, have not become cynical. They are very, very righteous about corruption. They won't have it. They're very, very enthusiastic. Biden wins almost by 30 points. In the 18-29 demographic. But this also is counterintuitive. In the 65 and over demographic, Trump in these polls beats Biden 51 to 40. Now, the concerning thing about that is more older people vote than younger people. But in every previous poll that I'd seen, Biden does very well among older people. To be candid, this particular line in the poll, I'm going to be very interested to see how that develops in future polls. Among women, confined to women, Biden beats Trump 46-38 by 8 points. Among men, Trump beats Biden by 6 points. So you have Trump, in among men and women, Biden has a 2-point advantage over, and there are more women, by the way, than men anyway, so it's more than a 2-point advantage because he beats them by 8 points with women, loses by 6 to men. By the way, more males than females are born, but there are more women than men. Apparently, men, you know, die earlier for different things, or they get killed in sports or war or whatever. But this is not a good poll for Donald Trump. In race, among white respondents, Trump at 50%, Biden at 39%. Among black people, Biden had 57%. Trump had 18%. Beats him by 40 points. among Latinos, Biden wins 50 to Trump 31. What I sense right now, to be very honest with you, is the start, the faint rumbling of an avalanche. You cannot, if you're Donald Trump, be indicted on 91 felonies in four courts with different judges, different prosecutors. What, every in the Army, if a guy says, everybody else is out of step, I'm the right one, they say, get out of here. Get out of here. Well, there's nothing but death threats from Trump. There's nothing but insults from Trump, lying from Trump. And up until now, he's held this together with sort of cellophane and scotch tape. People are afraid of him. They're afraid of him because he'd help primary them. And they're afraid for their safety and their family safety. At some point, people who are afraid for their safety or afraid of being primaried hate you for doing it to them. And the minute they can get you, the worm turns. And an old saying that revenge is a dish that is best served cold. You wait a little bit and you stick the knife in him. Trump has no real friends. There's nobody that likes Trump. One of the Republican senators said that if there was a secret vote on conviction after one of the impeachments, it would have been 100-0 against Trump. People were afraid. And that's very, very true. And I will simply leave it at this. On the subject of this poll, obviously we're going to look at future polls. But the truth is that the margin of error in these polls is very small, especially the Ipsos poll that talked to 3,800 people. And when you have consistently in two polls that were taken right now in January, Trump losing to Biden by, in one case, 2 points, one point. That is not good news for Donald Trump, because up until now, he has not been defined. And that's a strange thing to say. And you'll say, wait a minute, Matt, he's the incumbent on the Republican side. Joe's the incumbent on the Democratic side. And I get it. I get the analogy. Obviously, Trump has much better name recognition than anybody else in the Republican Party. You know, Nikki Haley, who's Nikki Haley, you know, DeSantis, okay, blah, blah, blah. But when you have good name recognition, it's not necessarily a positive. Al Capone had good name recognition. And Trump, by acting like a Russian mafia mobster, is making people very uneasy. Now, are many of them going to vote on the immigration issue and hold their nose and vote for Trump? Yeah, they will. Some will. Perhaps a lot will. But, you know, back in 2020, he had the same issue. Back in 2020, he had the same issue, and he lost by 7 million popular votes. 7 million. He lost Michigan by 70,000 votes, and he complained that there was, what, fraud? He lost Pennsylvania by a large amount. This time around, if you're talking to people who are Republicans or independents, and they're just parroting the usual party line, they go, oh, well, you know, the polls show that anybody can beat Biden and Trump can beat him and he's a safe bet. No, that's not true. The polls right now are beginning to show that Biden would beat Trump. And, you know, a lot of people that criticized Biden said, well, you seem to be encouraging Trump to be the nominee. Well, wait, first of all, Biden can't pick the Republican nominee, so knock that off. But secondly, I think it's fortunate for Biden that Trump is the nominee, because I'll tell you what, Biden will beat him like a drum. Okay, coming up, a very, very short step away coming up, and then we will see the right-wing party in Poland is exactly like Donald Trump and Scott Walker coming up.
And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Valentine's Day is here. This year, give the ultimate gift. Name a star after your sweetheart. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For 45 years, we've named millions of stars for celebrities, dignitaries, and individuals worldwide. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can give the most memorable gift. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
It's Fully Leaded Education Talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app. Looking at issues through a politically purple lens. The Rational Revolution with Chris Elfheim, Thursday nights at 7 on the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome back to Methlin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. For about 8 years, Poland had a very right-wing government, very similar to a Donald Trump. Poland's a magnificent country, stood up valiantly against Russia and Prussia for hundreds of years. 1795, it was conquered and divided up between Russia, Prussia, and Austria. Came back into existence after the First World War, and then lived as a country until the Nazis. And then the Russians came back in, finally liberated in the 1980s. You had Lech Walesa, the great Union electrician in the shipyard, and Pope John Paul II, a magnificent historical figure. But they voted for about 8 years for a right-wing government. We voted for one for 4 years, and hopefully we're not doing it again for 4 years. But I was really struck by this description of one of the experts who looked at their system. And he was not talking about our system. This was amazing about it. But just listen to the description of the 8-year right-wing government in Poland by this expert. And he's talking about that particular party. He said, quote, that party jury-rigged systems, rules, and initiatives to its own partisan advantage, planting its allies in the courts and prosecutors' offices. They enacted an intricate obstacle course designed to leave the party with a stranglehold on key levers of power, even if it were ousted in elections, end quote. Now you think about that, and that's something that right-wing parties do all the time. What do you think Scott Walker did in this case, in this state? Remember the lame duck laws? Tony Evers won the governorship, but Tony Evers was stripped of some of his powers. That was kept with the gerrymandered Republican legislature. Josh Call won the attorney generalship, but he was stripped of some of his powers, and that was put in the Republican gerrymandered legislature. You had the Supreme Court, the six tarantulas, exactly what is described in that description of the 8-year reign of the right-wing party in Poland. What they are doing has been described as the biggest power grab since 1803. That was back around when Marbury versus Madison was declared. You've heard that name. No one's read it. No one cares about it. It's an historical thing. But really what it came down to is this. The Wisconsin Supreme Court decided we want some power. It's not in the Constitution, but we're just going to announce it for the hell of it. So from now on, we reserve the right to declare things unconstitutional. And there's nothing you can do about it because nobody can appeal from us. Well, in 1803, there were a lot of problems. The British were still a problem. And then it ended up in the War of 1812. There's a lot of problems. We were a fledgling country. There are a lot of countries in the world that would have loved to have conquered us. George Washington died in 1798, so he wasn't around. And we were feeling our way. There was terrible strife between abolitionists and slaveholders, even them. So nobody paid any attention to it. And then they lay in the weeds for a while until the 1850s, Roger Taney's court, the Dred Scott decision, one of the launches to the Civil War. And then they started to get frisky about it. And they started to hold stuff unconstitutional. Remember this, there's nothing in the Constitution that says they can do that. Nothing. Culminated in the New Deal in the 1930s, when everything that Franklin Roosevelt tried to do, the Charter Labor Act, all of these things, and then they came up to Social Security, 1935. And these guys are all Republicans, or largely Republicans, and they're all sitting back. They're exactly like our tarantulas. You think our tarantulas are somehow an historical innovation? Well, they're not. Believe it, they're not. And finally, Roosevelt had enough. And he attacked the court, and he said, I'll tell you what, you keep screwing around like this. There's nothing in the Constitution that says how many justices have to be on the court. At one time, I think there were six, and then there were seven and nine and less and more. So they're going to be 13. I'm going to put four more justices on. I control the Congress right now. It's Democratic. And we're going to get you people out of there. And that scared one guy. So Social Security, instead of being declared unconstitutional in a 5-4 vote, was declared constitutional in a 5-4 vote. But now, in overturning, as they're about to, the Chevron decision, they're about to say that no regulations, that this is unbelievably sweeping, no regulations that experts in the administrative agencies who are hired for that purpose, who are not political, biologists, chemists, physics experts, geology, climate, unless that is a rule that Congress approves, it's no good. It's no good. This Congress is on life supports. The Republican caucus is largely crooked and hates the United States. Not entirely crooked, but largely, and largely hates the United States. You think that they, it took three continuing resolutions so far. You think they're going to sit down, spend time on environmental rules or something? You really think that? Or financial rules? So what's going to happen is there'll be lawsuits. And the judges who can't be appealed from because they're in the Supreme Court. This is going on our watch. That has got to stop. One way to stop it is to reelect Joe Biden. Another way to stop it is to elect a Democratic Senate. Another way to stop it is to elect a Democratic House. At some point, they have to be substantial enough margins that you can impeach and convict. And there are right now six of these people on the Supreme Court, and several of them deserve to be impeached, removed from office. But this is going on our watch. It's very, very dangerous, and something has to be done about it. I see you on the lines, by the way. Do not hang up. We're going to do some news. We're going to do some weather. And coming up, first of all, will be you on the lines. First of all, will be you on the lines. But secondly, you think that Joe Biden's been attacked for being somehow losing track of his thoughts. You will not believe what Donald Trump has been saying. He is the one with dementia. Coming back very shortly. Stay on the line.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. One in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test. Fix. Save a life.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm